Anya removed her computer and stowed her backpack in the overhead compartment above her first-class seat. Then she sat down beside Rue. The old man read the back of a novel he'd purchased in the terminal, then slipped it into the seat back.
Now you're going to tell me how Xia Wu Ying died.
Let's see that photo of the plaque again.
Anya opened her laptop and pulled up the picture on the screen.
The inscription on the back is a code.
How do you know that?
What else could it be?
A family history, just as it seems to be.
But it's not. It's a trifle complicated, and you are hampered by being unable to read Mandarin.
The man I had translated said it was Cantonese.
You had someone translate this? Did that man know what this pertained to?
No. He only knew part of the history. The belt plaque was rumored to be cursed.
I have no doubt that it is.
Enlighten me.
The inscription is Cantonese. However, the code is indeed written in Mandarin.
It should be in classical Chinese. That's the language Emperor Qin forced on everyone when he conquered the Seven Warring States.
Yes. I have to admit that confused me for a while. I didn't notice the message hidden within the other message. It says here, even before the ashes in the burning pit became cold, riots had begun in Shandong. It turned out that Lu Bang and Sheng Yu were both uneducated. I don't know what that means.
It's a poem.
If you say so. Anyway, here is the key.
Rue pointed towards the four Chinese characters located in the lower right corner. Anya had assumed they were the name of the artist or the name of a family. Rue then pointed to the same upside-down fish symbols that Michelle and Harry Kim had noticed.
Look at the placement of these icons.
They overlap different characters. How could you tell which one a fish is indicating?
It's a matter of trial and error, much like a crypto quote. If one of the characters doesn't make sense, you throw it out. That's why I spent so long this morning trying to figure it out.
So, what does it say?
That his belt plaque belonged to a man who betrayed Xia Wu Ying.
How was Xia Wu Ying betrayed?
The man who owns that belt plaque was one of Xia Wu Ying's most trusted assassins. He was a monk who had lived in disgrace before being taken in by his master. His name was Wan Shichong. He made the mistake of falling in love with a nun. Knowing they would never be allowed to live together, they ran. Eventually, they went to Lulan City. There, Wan Shichong took up employment with Xia Wu Ying.
As an assassin?
The young monk was trained in martial arts. At that time, war was everywhere. Qin Shi Huang was forcibly uniting the seven warring states. Eventually, though, Wan Shichong was torn trying to serve two masters. He had sworn loyalty to Emperor Qin, but he'd also sworn loyalty to Xia Wu Ying.
He had to betray one of them.
In the end, he chose to betray Xia Wu Ying.
Why?
Because he believed that Qin was the future of China, and his wife was pregnant with their first child. By this time, he'd also come to suspect that Xia Wu Ying was Toshadis.
What led him to that conclusion?
Artifacts that Xia Wu Ying had that at once belonged to the Scythians. The belt plaque Xia Wu Ying had chosen as a standard was another. Wan Shichong went to Emperor Qin's court physicians and was deliberately exposed to a plague victim. At the monastery, he'd been trained in medicines that would help him stave off death.
The plague?
Possibly measles or smallpox. All were quite deadly.
That's insane!
Xia Wu Ying was a feared man. Desperate times required desperate measures.
Did it work?
When Wan Shichong was certain he was infected, he returned to the City of Thieves. That was another name for the City of the Sands. He went among the assassins and spread the plague. Evidently, it didn't take long to manifest. The sickened fighters wandered out into the desert and were cut down by Emperor Qin's men in their weakness.
Wan Shichong led the Emperor's men to Xia Wu Ying's refuge.
Yes.
Then how was the location of the City of the Sands lost?
All of this took place while Emperor Qin was out taking the last tour of his country. Xia Wu Ying was on the run, but succeeded in bribing one of the Emperor's closest advisors into poisoning him. News of Emperor Qin's death spread, and the country fell into turmoil.
What happened to Xia Wu Ying?
According to the inscription, he died inside that underground city.
Did Wan Shichong survive?
He did, but he carried the disease home with him. His wife died from it, but his daughter survived. He lived out the end of his days, and never told anyone where the City of Thieves was.
There was no map?
Do you see one?
No, but I thought...
There was no map. I decoded the secret message. I suggest you figure out a way to find that hidden city.
Actually, if you just want to keep hidden the weapon Shao Wu Ying took all those years ago, not finding the City of the Sands would serve the same purpose.
Except, there is a map.
You just said there was no map.
Well, there isn't one on the belt plaque, but one does exist. Wang Shixiong left one for his daughter and told her she could find the hidden city if she ever wanted to.
Where did he leave the map?
It's in the form of a toy. That's all I know.
Anya went back to sifting through her research. She brought up maps of Lulan City, both present and past, and started trying to think like Sha Wu Ying, the dancing shadow of death. Garin Braden sat inside the bar and looked over the crowd of tourists and Chinese businessmen. The Silk Road Dunhuang Hotel was a four-star establishment on Dunyue Road, almost 3 miles south of the city. It was a little over 2 miles from the center of the city and 12 miles from the airport. The bar was a good place for a patient man like him to wait. Guy Kuan Yin, on the other hand, was not a patient man. He sat across the table from Garin, smoldering.
We should not be here.
Really? And where should we be?
Out there, in Lulan City, with Professor Hu.
Do you think he's hiding the City of Thieves from us?
You said you could find it.
I can, when the time is right.
A waitress walked up with a drink for Garin. He signed the bill and tipped her generously. Guy was paying all expenses. Garin shifted in the booth, and Guy's three bodyguards mirrored his movements. Their constant presence was wearing on Garin's nerves.
So when will the time be right, Mr. Braden?
Look, you don't know what you're up against.
An old man and one young woman.
I'm not sure I can convince you, but they can cause considerably more difficulty than you'd expect.
Just two people.
Your boy, Wang Fu Kao, couldn't put Anya Freed away.
That's nothing.
Don't forget that somebody shot your men out in the desert while they were spying on the dig as well. We still don't know what that's about.
Well, we can hardly resolve that by sitting here.
Yes, it would be much better if we were out there in the desert acting as a target. We've got people watching the dig. If Hu discovers something, we'll know. And when Anya Preed and Ru arrive there, we'll know that too.
Perhaps they're not coming.
Oh, they're coming. Feel it in my bones.
Anya was amazed by the gold and tan sand covering the Chinese countryside, filling it with dunes and plains. Stubborn scrub brush and scraggly trees shoved up through the baked crust and loose powder of the Gobi Desert. It was as if she were in another world. For a short time, she even forgot about the danger that she and Ru were surrounded by. She was only brought back to reality as they caught sight of their destination, a charming but modest hotel with a vast crowd of vultures circling menacingly overhead. Pulling up to the roundabout of the Grand Sun Hotel, Ru let the valet take care of the vehicle. Bellboys swooped in with a rack for the luggage. Anya chose to shoulder her backpack herself. Inside, the hotel held all the modern conveniences, but still maintained a somewhat rustic charm. The air conditioning provided welcome relief to Anya, and she knew that now was the time to enjoy it. There would be no such comfort once they reached the dig. Anya's suite was decorated in lacquered woods, with plenty of red and black in the color scheme. Instead of a dressing room, it had a long, folding wall with a green and yellow dragon stretched across the panels. Ru was placed in the adjoining room. Once the bellboys had gotten out of the way, Anya sat down to call Dr. Hu.
Ni hao.
It's Anya Creed. We've arrived.
Ah, splendid. The hotel has a coffee shop. Why don't you meet me there in 15 minutes?
That sounds great. Let me just get my associate.